Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four diverse and talented personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back regular players of the game, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones and Clement Freud, and one of the more recent regular players of the game, Paul Merton. Will you please welcome all four of them? This particular recording of Just a Minute is coming from the beautiful seaside town in North Wales of Llandudno. Beside me, I have this week Jane Stevens to keep a score. And once again, I'm going to ask our four players of the game to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And we'll begin the show this week with Clement Freud, and the subject is Wales. A very apt subject to begin this particular edition of Just a Minute. You have 60 seconds as usual, Clement, and the time starts now.
It has long been my ambition to get some whales, befriend them, and form ourselves into a private limited company in order to hire those things out to film studios. The extraordinary thing is that when you go to the cinema, it is almost impossible not to see an epic in which whales do not play a part. Jonah.
And Derek Nimmo has challenged. There was an urn there, which we interpret as hesitation. So, Derek, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject of Wales, and there are 37 seconds left, starting now.
All my children's holidays were taken in Wales. I used to go to Rhyl and Cricket, the Llandudno, of course, but particularly to Prestatyn. And I can remember now walking over the railway track on the bridge with the warm sun on the wooden sleepers, which are on top of this erection, and then onto the sands, the dunes below, the skylarks,
Paul Merton has challenged you.
Was there not a repetition of Prestatyn?
You can't have too much of Prestatyn anyway. No. Certainly didn't say it right.
So I'm afraid, Paul, it's another wrong challenge. And Derek, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. 17 seconds for Wales, starting now.
Edward the First said that he would present to the nation of Wales a prince that could not speak English. And he handed his baby son, and that became the first leader of the principality.
And Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of first.
Yes, you did say first.
Absolutely right, Clay. Well, listen.
Yes. Your early childhood, you're talking about your first impressions and things like that. Clement, you very cleverly got him with 3 seconds to go. The subject is still Wales, and you start now.
I was asked to join a movement called Protect White Wales.
Just to remind you, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gets an extra point, and on this occasion it was Clement Freud. And Derek, we'd like you to take the next round, a joke, starting now.
Any action or series of words that is designed to produce laughter, merriment and mirth can be described as a joke. It also can be applied to a person. It has been cruelly suggested the chairman of this game is a joke. I personally don't subscribe to that theory because he is a very dashing, beblazered chap and far from a joke. When you have political conferences and so on, they do tend to throw up a lot of jokes. There was one the other day at the
Paul Merton challenge.
The hesitation there.
So, Paul, you have a point for a great challenge, and you have 26 seconds to tell us something about a joke, starting now.
Where do you weigh whales at a well-way station? This is a joke that I remember hearing when I was about 7 years old, and I think it's possibly the best joke that anyone ever did tell me. When I was 8, I remember hearing the one
Clement Freud challenge.
Two remembers.
Yes, you did remember too much, I'm afraid, Paul. So, Clement got him with a correct challenge with 10 seconds on a joke, starting now.
Signor Agnelli, who is the chairman of Fiat, said any successful company needs an uneven number of directors, and 3 is too many.
Thank you. Clement's little joke kept him going to the whistle when gained that extra point and has taken the lead at the end of that round. Paul Merton, will you take the next round? The subject, tenter hooks. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Every summer when I was a boy, I was on tenterhooks wondering whether we were going to Prestatyn for our holiday. My parents would surprise me with a holiday brochure at the beginning of June and say, yes, we're going to that resort again. And I would leap with joy and my heels would click together in the air as I realised I was heading to that part of Britain. And as I sat on the beach, I would... So...
As you sat on the beach, you'd be challenged for hesitation, which was Derek Nimmo, and 38 seconds for you, Derek, to tell us something about tenterhooks, starting now.
Tenterhooks originally was a blanket which was stretched by virtue of these hooks, very tight, and so that's how it actually became part of the language. I myself often am feeling on tenterhooks when I'm anticipating meeting Paul Merton, who I regard with such awe because he has a sharp, razor-like mind. And when I gaze upon his t-shirt...
Peter Jones has challenged at last. Peter, what is your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, he did, actually, you see, did
he did slow down an awful lot, didn't he? Not for very long, but I was there.
We're sitting beside him, and I think you're a better judge than I am, where I am,
yes,
at a
right,
distance away
true,
from. Right,
yes.
13 seconds are left for you, Peter, to tell us something about tenterhooks, starting now.
Two peanuts walked down a dark alley, one was assaulted. Now, that's one of the jokes that I would like to have introduced into the previous subject. And while I'm about it, my parents had their honeymoon in Wales. And I was born about 3 years later. I've always been rather a late developer.
Yeah. Even in just a minute.
Exactly. So now I come to tenterhooks. How long have I got?
You haven't got it. Derek challenged you after you said about one was assaulted.
Really, we were talking about the previous subject rather than the present one.
No.
It's just a slight time warp.
No, he was... He was on tenterhooks to get that joke out.
That's right, yes, I thought it was so good.
Peter, I disagree with the challenge, so you have another point, and you have 9 seconds on tenterhooks starting now.
I don't know why they're called tenter. I always used to think they were tender, but apparently not. It must come from the Wild West, I suppose, something to do with...
The Derek Nimmer challenge.
It doesn't. Tenter is from the Latin for tentus.
It's what Derek said earlier on, if you were listening.
Yes. I was educationally deprived.
Yes.
And so I wouldn't have known that, you see.
There's 1 second, because Derek has got a correct challenge. Tenterhooks.
Tenterhooks is a very good subject to have on just a minute. And it's surprising how long they know.
Derek, you got an extra point, of course, for speaking then when the whistle went. And Peter Jones, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is avoiding tax. You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, I think it's something that practically everybody does except me. When I hear the Prime Minister or the Chancellor of the Exchequer refer to the taxpayer, I always think they must be referring to me. Because it's in the singular, you see. There are not even two of us. And it is terribly unfair. I'm told that accountants can help you to avoid paying tax, but I've never found one who could. And even if you do, you have to pay the accountant so much. It's really better to pay...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of accountant.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, it is a big firm.
Hmm. Yeah. Give Peter a bonus point. We like that one.
Presumably double-entry bookkeeping. Is what you're
But Paul had a correct challenge, so he gets a point and the subject. 31 seconds, Paul. Avoiding tax, starting now.
I avoid tax by working for the BBC, because I know that nobody will ever discover that I actually do appear on Radio 4. It is such a well-kept secret within the organisation of the British Broadcasting Corporation that even the Radio Times covers very little information.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
I'm trying to prevent him committing professional suicide. I don't mind sacrificing a point. It's a young life at stake.
So have you a legitimate challenge other than trying to help Paul Merton?
Well, he sort of hesitated very quickly, didn't he?
I think we'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the challenge, but Paul Merton gets a point for being interrupted and continues with the subject, and there are 15 seconds left starting now.
Some people, of course, move abroad.
Clement Roy challenge.
We've had, of course.
You did start off before with saying,
did
of course.
I?
Yes, I'm afraid
of course.
You did. Of course you did.
I'm being sponsored by the Of Course Society tonight. You feel that the phrase doesn't crop up enough in the English language, so
I'll be
saying it again later on.
All right. Clement, you had a correct challenge. 13 seconds are left. Avoiding tax, starting now.
Given a free choice, I would sooner avoid tenterhooks than tax. But if they come raining down from above, there's no good reason why one shouldn't run quickly to the nearest hostelry and drink...
Kenneth Roy was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he's gone back into the lead, one ahead of Derek Nimmo. Then comes Peter Jones, one behind, and then Paul Merton. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is Goya. Will you tell us something about that great painter in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I think everybody knows that Goya was a great painter, but what is far less well known is that he was a cricketer of tremendous talent. He played short leg and quite often went to mid-wicket. I've even heard reports that on occasion he tweaked left-handers.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Two occasions.
Yes, there were two occasions there, Clement, I'm afraid. Goya, 42 seconds with you, Derek, starting now.
I suppose with Velasquez, he is the one of the two greatest Spanish painters.
Some might... a challenge.
There was a sort of
hesitation.
There was a hesitation before. 37 seconds are for you, Peter, now on Goya, starting now.
Well, I can say without hesitation, I hope, that he was one of the greatest war artists of all time, and he didn't flinch from showing the gory details and all the horrors that war can bring about.
Clement Roy challenged.
Two wars.
Two wars.
Two wars, yes. Well, he did cover more than one.
That's a very big turn.
Yes. 25 seconds for you, Clement, on Goya, starting now.
When Goya played football for Tottenham Hotspur, he was extraordinarily smart on the left side. He was, sadly, a one-footed footballer. There was not much point passing the ball to him unless he was in the right position, but then his shot was dazzling. Goalkeepers around the world feared his actions, and he was smart
and
with
Paul
his
Merton
hit
challenge.
Deviation, not goalkeepers around the world feared his actions, surely only those in the first division. Why would a goalkeeper in Brazil fear this bloke playing for Tottenham?
If he was such a fine striker of the ball, then obviously every goalkeeper around the world might be inhibited by the thought of playing against him. So metaphorically speaking,
absolute rubbish.
You're playing the game, I'm not, so why
well,
are you challenging?
Even by the abysmally low standards of this program, it was absolute rubbish.
You're going to be quite interesting about it.
Well, I would have done some fool.
Well, I suppose you have to be a Clement Roy to get away with such rubbish. You did it with great style, Clement. You have another point, 3 seconds left on Goya, starting now.
What made it so difficult for him was having a painter of the same name.
Speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and has increased his lead. Derek, it's your turn to begin. Would you take the subject of donkey work? And there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I suppose donkey work is the sort of work that nobody really wants to do. It is the kind of position of the people on the very lowest
Paul
level.
Merton challenge.
A severe hesitation.
My stuff is getting very bad tonight.
You've been reminded of your childhood back in North Wales.
Well, that's right.
All those
when I was a guard for pressed that in.
Paul, you've got in with 52 seconds, and the subject is donkey work, starting now.
When I wasn't enjoying holidays in Prestatyn, I was going down to Blackpool Beach, where the donkeys would do a good turn for the kids by taking them up and down the sandy bit on their backs. I remember one particular donkey...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Why were the children being pulled along on their backs?
I I think we'll give you a bonus point. We'd like the challenge, but I think he did make it clear now, under the pressure of keeping going, that the children were put on the backs of the donkeys. So, Paul, you were interrupted. You have another point, and you have 39 seconds. Donkey work starting now.
I remember the skin being scraped off my spine just here as these donkeys dragged me along the aforementioned path.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, dragged me along, or dragged, at any rate, he said that before, didn't he?
I did, yes.
Yes, you did. Right.
I'll say it again, given another chance.
Peter, you had the subject of donkey work. 31 seconds are left, starting now.
Yes, well, it is really drudgery, or very hard, unpleasant labour, like digging a hole in the road. And you often see people looking and saying, these men, they don't like work, you know. Look at them, he's leaning on his shovel. This is after he's been there for about 2 hours.
Derek Nemo, Charles. I think there was.
Was there? No.
In other words, you want to hear from Peter Jones a bit more, do you? All right, then. Well, the judges. Peter, they're on your side.
No, how long is that?
The 16 seconds.
Oh.
They're your audience, you see. They want to hear more from you, so yeah, it's up to you now.
Just a Welsh name, you see.
Well, Peter, you have 16 seconds, and you start now.
Well, it was Mary and Joseph who really made the donkey famous and put it on the map by taking them to this stable at Christmas time.
And Derek did the challenge, yes.
Definitely. No.
Definitely there. I won't have the audience say anything against that one. So, Derek, you have the subject of donkey work, 8 seconds, starting now.
When our Lord entered in triumph into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it was on the back of a donkey. And that is why the stigmata on...
Well, it's a very close contest this week. Derek Nimmo's just jumped back into the lead with an extra point. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, a perfect day. There are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My idea of a perfect day is to go down to Blackpool and listen to the kids screaming as the donkeys drag them backwards along the beach. I can't get enough of this. In fact, I take a tape recorder down with me and record.
Derek Nimmochan.
2 downs.
Derek, you've got in there with 47 seconds to go on a perfect day, starting now.
My idea of a perfect day is to set forth on a slow train from London up to Crewe, sit there for an hour and a half, change in one to Chester, and then come on to Llandudno Junction, which isn't the place you're trying to get to at all. It's quite a long way away. But when you actually arrive and see yourself surrounded by smiling faces, often chatting to you in Welsh, Kibakabisko, which means the schoolmistress of my dog.
Kevin Freud has challenged you.
Oh, really?
Yes, Clement.
He stopped.
He certainly hesitated, yes.
Yeah.
So, Clement,
that's
you have another point, and you have 21 seconds. A perfect day starting now.
I think a perfect day should start now in Llandudno and go gently down the coast through the city of St. Asaph up to Rhyl to Corwin Bay where they've closed the pier.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, you can't go from St. Asaph to Corwin Bay.
Derek, you have the subject back. 8 seconds, a perfect day, starting now.
Walk along the pier and breathe in the ozone and retire to a handily adjacent...
Closed, I've said.
Oh, of course it's not closed, Clendon. I think we should broadcast that back, don't you?
The Llandudno Tourist Board is very pleased with this programme.
Derek, it was one challenge. You have 5 seconds on a perfect day, starting now.
Into a fish and chip shop and getting some salt and vinegar and a well-worn copy of the Little Big Book.
Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, nuts. Will you tell us something about it?
Well, if I were Clement Freud, I suppose I'd just start giving you a list of them, like coconuts, hazel, pea and so on. But what can one say about nuts except that they are a secondary sort of source of protein? They're quite good for vegetarians to eat as long as you chew them up well and eat plenty of green stuff with them. They are...
Paul Merton Jones.
Repetition of eat.
Yes, you did say eat.
Well, it wasn't very interesting anyway.
Paul, you have another point. Well, you have 41 seconds. The subject is nuts, starting now.
Nuts is one of those colloquial terms for people who have a mental instability. It's a rather unfair description, but is one that is often used. Many years ago, it was the practice of people of London to go to Bedlam Hospital to look at the nuts there inside. And this was when we had a very bad view of what it was to be mentally ill.
Clement Roy Challenge. Hesitation, yes, Clement.
I was going to turn it into a song, actually.
21 seconds are left, and the subject is still nuts. Clement, starting now.
G-N-U-T-S is how Dan Quayle would spell nuts, which is actually quite wrong. It is an enormously important and successful source of protein. I think cashews and Brazils are those which are most calorific, and therefore...
Well, it's still neck and neck in the lead. Clement Freud is only one behind a leader, Derek Nimmo. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, estate agents. Will you tell us something about that much maligned group of people, starting now?
I really know very little about estate agents, other than they're always moaning about not having any work to do, and tend to become Conservative members of Parliament, where they bore everybody greatly. There's one called Vivian Bendall. I can't remember what his seat is, but he was an estate agent and went on throughout his career in the House being known as one of that company. Anyone who wanted to sublet or rent a house or flat would go to this good man, he wasn't really that terrific, and say, can you accommodate me? There's a lot of commission available if you would do what I...
Peter Jones, Jones.
Hesitation.
23 seconds are left for you, Peter, on estate agents, starting now.
Estate agents always seem to get a very bad press. You don't often meet people who like them. But my experience has been that if you treat an estate agent kindly, like you might a boa constrictor or something like that, it can become quite friendly and helpful.
Derek Nimmo, Jones.
Can. He's sort of stuttered.
I stuttered.
But he kept going. You didn't challenge him for the repetition
it's
of
the pot calling the kettle black.
Peter, you keep the subject. You have 6 seconds, starting now.
They are one of the worst kind of agents, and I've come across very many theatrical agents and
so at the end of that round, Pete Jones spoke as the whistle went, gained an extra point. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is My Mistake. Can you tell us something about My Mistake, starting now?
I think one of my mistakes was not being able to get into the subject of nuts, because I would have liked to have talked about lunatics for a while, particularly the one who escaped from an asylum, assaulted a laundress, and then fled. And the headline the next day in the Sun was, Nuts, Screws, Washers, and Boats. I always think it was a great mistake, but I wasn't able to penetrate that particular question. And it's something that I would always...
Clement Freud challenge you at the end of your joke.
It's a repetition of nuts.
Nuts.
We're talking about My Mistake.
Might have been a mistake, actually, to have told that story. You never know. And Clement Freud, you have a correct challenge. You have 40 seconds. My Mistake, starting now.
My mistake was to go into a restaurant and order turtle soup. And having done so, I waited for 35 minutes and left. Whereupon the restaurateur came up and said, you can't, chasing behind me as I was walking down the street. I said, I certainly can. I ordered this delicacy, which is either made by opening a tin and pouring the content onto a plate, or by using the beast and soaking him for days on end. If you're unable to do the former, I'm not prepared to wait for the latter. I think it was a mistake because, as a consequence, I didn't get dinner that night. It was in Southampton. There was no one else.
Well, Clement Roy, with his points, including one for Speaker's Whistle Wind, has now taken the lead, one ahead of Derek Nimmo. Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, algebra. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Algebra is a very small country just off the coast of Spain. The people who live there live in all kinds of rude huts. These are various houses with two fingers sticking out of the roof. That is why I referred to them earlier as I did. The algebraic people are a kindly race, but they don't get on very well with their near neighbours, who are the people of the island of geometry. There is a great war between these two. Geometry,
very nimble chums.
Two geometers.
And you always tell me you did woodwork at school.
Well, quite clearly I did, as I didn't do algebra.
30 seconds for you, Derek, on algebra, starting now.
Algebra was the one goalkeeper who was not frightened of Boyer when he was playing centre forward. Oh, algebra was tremendously popular because he managed to repel every ball that was kicked towards him, and retired to live in the south of Spain because, as the name suggests, it is, of course, of Arab origin.
Clement Roy Chance.
I don't know. I just thought it was a good time to stop.
Might have been a good time to stop, but 10 seconds for you, Derek. Algebra, starting now.
So many of these mathematical
science... Jones, a child.
Hesitation.
Peter, you have 7 seconds to tell us something about algebra, starting now.
Well, that's too long to talk about the algebra that I know about, because I had a very bad time at school.
But you kept going, in spite of that, until the whistle went, Peter. This is the last round, I have to tell you. And as we enter the last round, Derek Nimmo is still in the lead, only two ahead of Peter Jones and Clement Freud, equal. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is spring. Will you tell us something about that delightful subject in this game, starting now?
Well, the nicest kind of spring water that I know is called Hepburn Spa, and it comes from a place called Dalesford, which is just outside Ballarat, which is tolerably near to Melbourne in Victoria in Australia. It was purchased by an impresario called Harry Miller, who put it in these canisters and sold it for an absolute fortune. I once did a calculation, you know, that Perrier water, if it was put into an oil can, is worth £110 per great big barrel, whereas
Roy had challenged.
Repetition of water.
Yes, you had water, and the subject is spring, not spring water, I'm afraid. And there are 32 seconds left on spring, starting now.
I shared an office for many years with that famous failed anorexic, Sir Cyril Smith, who had a company called Springs. His first name preceded it. And he knew more about Springs than anybody I've ever met. He employed many people and looked after them well, and there was a profit-sharing scheme. And Springs came out of Rochdale.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He has repeated the plural of spring.
He did say springs more than once, and spring is the subject on the card. So well listened, Peter. You've got in on the last round with 5 seconds to go on spring, starting now.
It is one of the most delightful of the seasons because it applies mostly...
As I said before, this was to be the last round, so what I have to do now is to give you the final position. Only 1 point ahead and equal, we have two joint winners this week, which is Derek Nimmo with Peter Jones. Hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, which has come from the lovely seaside town of Llandudno. And it only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four players of the game, and Jane Stevens, who's kept the score for the first time absolutely admirably, also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Sarah Smith, thank you for listening. We hope that you'll be with us the next time you hear us playing Just a Minute. Until then, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Thank you.